This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Shut up and take my money!
That is an old-time low!
And the old bear is back.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Telling me, dream, dream, dream.
Hello and welcome. This is Buy or Sell, coming to you from the No Holds Bar here at Equity Mates HQ. I'm your host, Adam Kiley, regarded by many as one of the simplest minds in finance. Luckily for all of us, though, I'm joined once again by an expert to educate me and hopefully you on how they're thinking about stocks and the stocks they're thinking about. This is not a deep dive, though. This is rapid fire. Buy or sell. We're going to rip through as many stocks as we can in the time that we have. And don't forget, you can follow each stock on the buy or sell tracker on the Equity Mates website. And today I am super excited because I am joined by no other than Scott Phillips, Chief Investment Officer at The Motley Fool. Scott, welcome to the No Holds Bar.
Adam, g'day. Very happy to be here, mate. And rapid fire, you're going to have to keep me to it. I can talk, so okay. Pull me up if I'm going over time.
I've got a big bell here. I'll just ring that. It's similar to the NASDAQ bell. We'll just ring that as soon as you go over, but I'll keep you in check.
Or the last drinks bell, yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, to get started, speaking of drinks, I'd like to offer you a drink. Mm-hmm. I find it's a nice little way to get to know people a bit more deeply. Mm-hmm. We do have a signature cocktail here this week in the No Holds Bar. It is the Blue Chip Lagoon in honour of the primarily ASX stock that we're talking about today, Scott, but Chip Lagoon for you, or what's your drink of choice?
So without wanting to sound like an alcoholic, mate, it depends on how I'm feeling.
No judgment here. I'll put that exactly. In. No judgment Thank whatsoever.
You. Thank you, barman. Mate, I'm a fan of dark beers, so I'll go for Chewy's Old or a Guinness if I'm having a beer. I don't mind a Shiraz if I'm on the red wine train, or maybe to finish off, maybe the last drinks, a nice Scotch whiskey neat is how I finish lovely. The evening.
You've just planned out my whole night. We're going to start with a dark beer, move to a Shiraz, and then finish off with a whiskey neat. I love it.
Pretty much.
All right. Now, I think you're actually the first guest who has completely understood the assignment here at the No Holds Bar. You have no holds, five buys, five sells. Yes. I can't wait to get started. So let's crack on. And we're going to start with Washington H. Soul Pattinson and Company Limited, ASX SOL, currently trading at $32.50. I had to sit down and have a sandwich about halfway through reading the name of that company, yep. Scott. Are we looking at a buy or sell for Soul Pats?
I own Soul Pats and I reckon your listeners should too. It is a buy for me. Soul Pats is a listed investment company. So it's a conglomerate business. It owns partial or whole fractions of other companies. It has an equity portfolio, lots of ASX shares. It owns large chunks of a few businesses, and it owns some businesses outright. So Soul Patts, it's a really, really high quality business. Second oldest listed company in the country. That's why that name is so unwieldy. They weren't spelling it with no vowels or only lowercase letters as the cool kids do these days. Soul Patts
Soulify. That would be that would be fun.
Exactly. Soul Patts for short. Look, it's a great business run by the fourth generation of the same family, as I said. They are long-term value-oriented managers. They have beaten the market over 1, 3, 5, 10, and I think 15 years because they just simply invest really thoughtfully in quality companies, rating at pretty good prices. They own a cross-shareholding in Brickworks, a building materials company I also own shares in, TPG Telecom, and the spin-off business called Chuas out of Malaysia. A really, really high-quality business. Pretty good dividend. Has increased, I think, every year for 24 years. They're very close to the quarter century of increasing dividends. A really, really high-quality business, and I think one for the bottom drawer, one for almost every portfolio.
Okay, and so they're not. It doesn't sound like they're focused on one particular sector either. There, Scott, they're really broad, really diverse. Is that fair?
Yeah, they are. So they're an investment company. They don't have any real internal operations other than buying and owning bits of other people's businesses. As I said, there's a couple of internal. I have an in-house merchant banking business and a couple other bits and pieces. Funds management is their newest bit of business. They merged with Milton Corporation. They own some shares and a couple of other listed fund managers. That seems to be the big growth area they're looking for at the moment.
Okay, Soul Patts is a buy.
It is.
I think I'm going to buy it.
Next up, another company people may have heard of, Qantas Airways Limited, ASXQAN, currently trading at $5.62. Rarely see good news about Qantas these days. Could it be an opportunity for Bonza to step up as the national carrier, Scott? Is that a chance? Once it gets out of administration, obviously.
Well, that's the problem. Apparently, Bonza's being looked at by its private equity owners, and they've got people coming to look at those, and it's all a bit of a mess. Trying to run an airline is a stupidly difficult business. Qantas and Virgin have done a pretty good job recently because they've been ultra rational. They've basically rationed capacity, and that's meant really high airfares. We know that if you've tried to travel around the country recently or internationally, you're paying through the nose. So this is probably the best of times for Qantas, I would suggest. Now, I'm a long-term investor, mate. This is a sell on structural grounds. No idea what happens with the share price in the next month, 2 months, 6 months, even 12 months. But long-term, airlines are awful, awful, awful businesses. They eat up capital. They are really expensive to run. If your capacity drops even a little bit, you just bleed money. So, really, really difficult one. Look, so far, so good. I love the airline. I love I'm very proud, brand Qantas as a flyer. As an investor, I'm not touching it. If I owned the shares, I would sell them. Warren Buffett famously said, if a far-sighted capitalist had been at Kitty Hawk, he would have shot Wilbur and Orville right down. That's how bad the airline industry is for investors. You need to stay well away from this one, I reckon.
Right. I'm not sure the public sentiment is also favourable towards airlines in general.
True.
All right, so Qantas is a sell.
It is.
Next up, we're looking at Corporate Travel Management Limited, ASX CTD, currently trading at $15.09. Now, when I think corporate travel, Scott, I think luxury, I think style, I think relaxing on a Legionella-ridden refugee barge parked off of Dorset in the UK.
It's a very different set of businesses, isn't it? And yet these guys are in that space. Either way, so they did this contract with the UK government to basically exactly manage refugees in a floating barge. Shades of 1788 Australia, by the way, when we...
Seems an odd thing, yeah.
They had hulks of ships waiting for people to be sent to Australia. Mm. Look, that contract is why the share price is down. They allowed for it was $30 or $40 million worth of profit from this thing. Turned out to be a couple of million dollars. The contract's a bust. Not for anything corporate travel's done badly. They just simply, hey, capacity is this much and the government will pay us this much if we do what we do. It just didn't work. The business wasn't there. Now, probably good news for those refugees, but bad news for corporate travel. Because of that, it downgraded guidance recently. I own these shares, by the way. But it is a buy because I think the company is a long-term winner. They've talked about the fact that if and when they get back to pre-COVID levels of travel, the share price pre-COVID was 22 up to 28 bucks at one point. So you're looking at a $15 share price. So a good 50% upside from here just to get back to those levels, I think it's really likely.
So they were hit by COVID as well, were they? Or?
Yeah, massively. Yeah. Here's the great thing, though, and here's why I like them as a company. So Flight Centre, Webjet, Corporate Travel, and Hello World Travel, all got hit by COVID really hard. Effectively, business went to zero. Those other three had to raise money because they didn't have enough cash on the balance sheet to stay afloat. Corporate Travel had managed itself more conservatively, had the money on the balance sheet, didn't raise any capital at all, and in fact went and did some acquisitions during the end of the pandemic where there was just cheap businesses to buy. So this is a really good business. Jamie Ferris is the CEO and the founder. He's done a remarkable job building this company. I think it's just too cheap. The growth will come back. Mm-hmm. It will be there. The market looking at very short-term future now and saying the short-term looks a bit grim, and it does. The long term, I think, is really bright. And if you're an investor with a long term perspective, I think you should be, then I think Corporate Travel at $15 is a really good buy.
All right, that's a buy.
I think I'm going to buy it.
Next up, we're looking at Commonwealth Bank of Australia, ASX CBA, currently trading at $111.86. We had a look at the national airline carrier. Now we're looking at the national carrier of money. That's an unofficial title, obviously. Where are we at with CBA, Scott? Buy or sell?
I am a capital S sell, Adam.
Capital S sell, right.
I will say the other sells I've got today are going to be on structural grounds. I think long-term, they're businesses that are really struggling. CBA is not that. CBA is a dramatically strong, stable, quality bank. It has a very, very strong business, has a very significant mortgage book. It is the largest bank in the country. So this is not a structural problem other than structural growth, because we're looking right now at a situation where house prices have been growing. Yeah, we know that. The economy is now in a bit of a lull. Business lending is going to be the next battleground for the banks. I don't see the growth that's required to justify the current price of CBA. Simply, again, great bank, not going anywhere, completely fine. But you don't want to pay a fortune.
we don't want to run on the bank with people.
Exactly.
Scott said it's a sell, so I'm going to go and take out all my money.
That's right. We'll be exhibit A in the court case in the winding up of the business. Us laughing about it and people telling horrible stories about us. How dare they laugh about it? Look, it's going to be fine, but
yep.
can it grow fast enough to justify the current share price? I don't think so. It's not exactly double the price of the other banks on a PE basis, but it's not miles off that either. And you kind of say, hang on, what has to happen? Now, here's the key. CBA for the last 40 years has been huge. Why? It is the biggest mortgage book in the country. It is the bank with the strongest mortgage book as a proportion of its total earnings. While ever mortgages have been growing quickly, because house prices have been growing quickly, that's been wonderful for CBA. They had the fullest sales. The tailwinds were blowing really hard and they're doing fantastically well. If and when we don't see the same strength from that part of the market as we have over the past few decades, then CBA is actually going to be structurally disadvantaged, not advantaged. Investors are looking in the rear vision mirror. They're looking backwards and saying, hey, way back then this was great. I think that's a mistake. I think it's too expensive. If I own CBA shares now, I would sell them.
All right, so sell.
Sell, sell, sell.
All right, last one before we take a quick break. We are looking at Goodman Group, ASX GMG, currently trading at $30.49. Had it twice on the show already, Scott, as a buy. A third buy here would put it into 90s boy band NSYNC territory. I trust you're familiar with the classic buy from NSYNC.
Oh, nice. Look at that.
What are we doing with Goodman Group, Scott? Buy or sell?
If it's not a buy, I'm going to go very, very 2024 and I'm going to shake it off, Adam. That's my token pop reference.
Have you got teenage daughters by any chance?
I do not, and that's about the only Taylor Swift song I know, so it's all I've got. Whenever I did a Taylor Swift pun, it's shake it off and that's it, so I'm done. You can expect nothing else. But I am going to NSYNC this one. It is going to be a buy for me as well. I want to be really, really clear, though. I hate, I should have made some other sales. In fact, I have got one coming up soon. I hate REITs, real estate investment trusts, as a matter of course, for a couple of reasons. Firstly, if you're in a real estate company, you're getting affected with a rent plus a little bit of development profit. There's not a big upside there if you're in real estate itself, in commercial real estate. Secondly, if you're in office real estate, you've got to contend with the work from home stuff. If you're in retail, you're contending with people shopping online more often now than not now. But Goodman Group is in the warehousing business. So think about e-commerce. Think about the massive growth in parcel delivery. Letters are falling off a cliff. Parcels are going through the roof. Goodman is in that space. Their biggest customer is Amazon. I own shares in both Amazon and Goodman. Deutsche Post is its second biggest customer. And then a long line of it. These guys have great facilities in great locations. Greg Goodman, the founder, is doing a spectacular job of building this business. And they are part real estate business and part fund manager. they actually have internal, effectively, property trusts within the business where they are getting paid as the manager of those and investing on behalf of outside investors, not the shareholders, but other investors. So you get the return from the assets themselves, and then you get on top of that a return from the funds management fees they collect from their partners to manage those other property trusts. It's the latter I really, really like because it's super scalable. The upside is effectively unlimited. If you can find more investors, you can make more money. Goodman Group, I really, really like. That's why it's a buy.
I think I'm going to buy.
And is it like I've heard lately there's things like Temu and Shein coming on board, threatening Amazon's business. Is this a way of just getting like a layer down below that and going, we're in the parcel business now, and I don't care who sells it.
Pretty much, yeah. Look, I'm not sure if Timmy will be using Goodman Group anytime soon, but you're absolutely right. This is, and the other thing is, it's a global thing, right? This is not just an Australian real estate business, but it's a global real estate business. Now, a large chunk is in Australia because that's where it started, but you're getting geographic diversification, you're getting customer diversification, as you say. So many, Amazon's big. I think last time I checked, it was about $1 in $7, $8 effectively, you know, 16-18%. But on top of that, well, then the tail is really, really long after that. So I like the business. It's a really good way of getting, as you say, diversified exposure to e-commerce more broadly, but even better than that, just really well-run assets and clipping the ticket as a fund manager on those assets as well.
All right, it's
a buy. I think
I'm
going to buy it.
And that brings us to a break. We're going to take a pause here, grab another Guinness. And coming up right now, we have got NSYNC with Buy, Buy, Buy. You're on Buy or Sell. Back in a minute.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And the old bear is back.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Welcome back. You're on Buy or Sell, coming to you from the No Holds Bar. My expert today is Scott Phillips, Chief Investment Officer at Motley Fool. Scott, great to have you on the show. And we've been through five stocks already. We've got another few to get through here, starting off with Whitehaven Coal, ASX WHC, currently at $7.88. Scott, I saw Whitehaven have abandoned plans for driverless trucks after their labour shortages eased. Apparently, they're also considering the need for conveyor belts, thinking they could just use more labour to form a human daisy chain and pass coal along the line. We'll see how that plays out. But is Whitehaven Coal a buy or a sell for you?
You're saying there's a chance. I don't want to be the bloke at the end shoveling into the furnace, by the way. I'll let someone else do that. Maybe I'll be in the middle somewhere I can kind of shirk off behind a tree.
There's a hierarchy along the line as you go. It's the
That's fair, that's fair. Yeah, you know, you're breaking the rocks or throwing it in the furnace somewhere in between.
Exactly.
It's nice.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Look, despite all of that, Whitehaven for me is a sell. And here's why. It is really, 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 really cheap. If you believe that coal prices remain high, and if you believe the company is going to be able to give out as much of that cash, that profitability, as it can to shareholders to make money along the way. The problem I've got is Whitehaven continues to reinvest in its business. Now, ordinarily, that's great. But think about the changes that may be wrought policy-wise, by climate change. Now, I'm a full card-carrying member of the Climate Change Coalition. The scientists are right. The doubters are wrong. I'm happy to say that unequivocally. But even if you don't agree with that, even if you think the whole thing's a hoax, and good luck to you if you do, the reality is that governments are going to make decisions. Consumers are going to make decisions on the basis of what they believe is the clear and present danger. Now, if and when they do that, if and when coal becomes a stranded asset, the question is, what has Whitehaven done to make sure you as a shareholder get money out? Anything times zero is still zero, right? So if you get a double, then a double, then a double, then zero, you still go back to zero. My real concern is if Whitehaven continues to say, we're a coal company, we're reinvesting in coal, it's all we're going to do, eventually it just runs out of customers, runs out of business, runs out of money, and the shareholders are left with, in theory, a share of a stranded asset. Now, maybe that doesn't happen, and maybe I'm entirely wrong, and that's fine. This is not a promise the shares are going to go down. I'm not saying short Whitehaven Coal. I'm simply saying the fundamental reality of the way the business is structured is unless it's going to either pay out $1 squillion in dividends to shareholders, and it might, in which case I'd be wrong and they should jump in, or unless it's going to go into a different business, somehow diversify or find something else to do. If you are stuck with a stranded coal asset, you're stuck with a stranded coal asset. For me, I don't want to take that risk until I know what the capital management, in other words, the plans the company's got for its cash, what is it going to do with all that money? If it's staying in coal, I've got a problem. If it's paying it out or getting you a new business, then I'm interested. But for right now, if I own those shares because of that risk, I would sell them.
Yep. We could just, could we find another use for coal? Could we start building things out of coal rather than just burning it?
Like, I think if we give,
maybe
we
could build houses out of coal.
Take it into parliament. People got pet rocks, pet lumps of coal could be the new thing.
There we go. See
a couple of goggly eyes on them and you're away.
Squiggle's going to have a new range of coal.
How could it possibly go badly?
Very good. All right, sticking with mining, we're going to look at Pilbara Minerals, ASX PLS, currently $3.83. Another one we've had a few other times on the show. All three have been a buy. Scott, where are you on Pilbara Minerals?
Un-in-sync it, if that's now a new word.
Yes.
I am a sell on Pilbara Minerals. I am a sell. And again, think I'm talking structural here, long term. Everyone says, hey, you know what? Electric vehicle is going to be massive. And if electric vehicles are massive, then therefore battery is going to be massive. If batteries are massive, then lithium is going to be massive. And if lithium is going to be massive, I should buy Pilbara Minerals, right? That's a really, really easy line of thinking to make. I did some numbers about 5 or so years ago on oil during the 20th century. Now, super back of the envelope, I'm no statistician. The price of oil after inflation went up about 2.5 times in the 20th century. Over 100 years, up 2.5 times, despite the fact the volume of oil pumped and used went up exponentially. In fact, literally more than that, because it started at zero at the beginning of the century using whale oil and whatever else. By the end of it, we're doing millions of barrels a day and everything's going nuts. Yet, despite that, the price of oil only went up about 2.5 times. Why? Because every time demand went up, supply went up to match it. We found bigger, better, cheaper ways of getting it out of the ground. We discovered more of it. We got it to market in a more efficient way. So you don't have to, back to the airlines, by the way, air travel has exploded over the past 50 years, absolutely gone nuts. And if you told me 50 years ago air travel would do that, I would have said, sell the house, sell the kid, mortgage the lot, put it all in airlines, I'm going to make a fortune. And I would have gone broke about 5 times over. And the reason is that volume growth is not enough as an investor to justify an investment. Now, maybe Pilbara is wonderful. Maybe lithium's fantastic. Maybe the price stays sky high. But you know what? There is a lot of lithium being identified. A lot of it is being developed. Some of it is being commercialized already. As and when it does, again, I'm a long-term investor, right? Maybe the price doubles in the next 12 months for all I know. But long-term, my bet is twofold. Either volume, supply increases to match demand, in which case prices don't move, or potentially, don't forget, we think lithium ion is the only thing. Now, I'm old enough, mate, to remember when nickel cadmium batteries, the old NiCad batteries, were the technology to do it, right?
Yeah.
So now it's lithium ion. In 5 years' time, what is it? Is it lithium ion still? Maybe. Is it solid state? Is it something sulfide, I think, is being talked about? Who knows what the technology is going to be? So you've got to be right about the trend of EVs. You've got to be right about batteries. You've got to be right about the battery chemistry. And then you have to be right about the fact that demand will outstrip supply on an ongoing basis. Now, look at the price of oil or iron or gold or anything else. These things roughly track the cost of production, not some sort of astronomical margin on top of that. So I wouldn't buy Pilbara if I own the shares. Again, look, maybe it's a lottery ticket. Maybe it goes really, really well, or maybe it goes really badly. If you don't know, you shouldn't. That's not an investment. That's a speculation. If you're investing, you shouldn't own Pilbara Minerals, in my view.
Okay, very good. That's a sell. Next up, we're looking at Cochlear Limited, ASX COH, currently trading at $315.65. I read some are concerned that Cochlear might be under threat from pharmaceutical giants making drugs that might reduce deafness. Is there anything as MPIC can't do?
exactly.
That's not factual, by the way. I have no idea about most things. So Cochlear, though, Scott, is Cochlear a buy or a sell for you?
So there is a very, very significant potential risk for something like gene therapy or other therapeutic treatments for deafness. And as someone who likes health and likes wellness and hopes that fewer people suffer from deafness in the future, there is a very good chance, and it'd be wonderful if that happened. The reality, though, is we're not there yet. And if you think about Cochlear's business, Cochlear is one of the very, very few, other than tattoos, things you get put inside your body or on your body permanently, right? When you get a cochlear implant, it's there for life. It's there to stay. Now, if you're Cochlear, firstly, this company invented the cochlear implant. That's pretty cool. They are the premier name in this business. There are other providers out there, but Cochlear is the gold standard. And again, if you're going to put something in your body, are you going to take the cheaper option if you don't have to? No, you're not.
Now, I don't get my hearing implants at Aldi. I'm going name brand.
And some people do, and that's fine. Some people, there are competitors, and they have business. But right. Again, if you're the best in the business, if you've got the best brand, you can charge the best prices, the highest prices, hopefully give people the best solutions. Not only that, once they're implanted, you're a customer for life. And then the ongoing business for Cochlear is the sound processors that take the signal from inside your head and turn it into understandable speech to let the sufferer actually hear what's being said. Now, those processors get upgraded every few years. They get replaced. They get improved. And so you think about that. Again, I want to be a little bit careful. We don't sound too mercenary here.
Yeah,
the best part is they're not curing deafness, but they're solving problems for people with hearing impairment. But as a shareholder of Cochlear, you also get to, or not by the way, you also get to have the upside of when that happens, Cochlear does more business. They are giving better outcomes for their customers, their patients, and the shareholders are doing well. Now, think about the long-term trend of that. You've got more people being diagnosed with hearing impairment. You've got more people in the market because all of a sudden the developing world becomes more developed and has access to these sort of things. You have a growing number of people who are receiving these implants and then are customers for 50, 70, yeah, hopefully 90 years in some of these cases, right? Some of the kids you see with the implants. So this is long, long, long term customers who you're doing more business with over time, more and more people coming into the funnel. One of the very best, I think, multi-decade investment ideas is Cochlear.
All right, Cochlear is a buy.
I think I'm going to buy it.
Next, we're looking at Vicinity Centres, ASX, VCX, currently $1.91. Are they really centred or just in the vicinity? Scott, buy or sell the Vicinity Centres? Thank you.
Stay well and truly away from the vicinity of Vicinity Centres in my view. I mentioned REITs before, real estate investment trusts.
Yeah.
I think about the growth of e-commerce. Myer, one of the most boring, most backward companies on the ASX, one of the retailers who've done the worst over the past 20 years, desperately trying to get people back in a store, they're losing that battle. They keep losing that battle. And yet, during COVID, their sales online were about a third of their total business sales, even now, about 25%. So $1.04 of Myer, this is your grandparents' store, right? This is not the store that most people go to. A quarter of those sales are online. Think about the growth of online commerce, the specific, especially online guys, the Amazons of the world.
Yeah,
but there's
others
as well. All the others who are doing really significant business online, that's growing like Topsy. Now, we're not talking about it right now, by the way. People have kind of moved on from the online growth story, and yet it continues to grow and grow and grow. Fast forward 5, 10, 15 years and ask yourself how much business is being done in physical retail. My guess, about half of what it is now. Now, if that's even close to true and you're a retail landlord, doesn't take a genius to work out. You're going to find it very, very tough to gain and retain physical retailers. There'll be some great physical retailers around. Westfield stores will do really nicely. They are centres. They are places people congregate and go to shop, to spend time with people, to go and have a bite to eat or a coffee. They'll do okay. The corner store is probably still fine. You duck up to Woolies or Coles, listen to the order that online as well. The stuff in the middle, you don't really need to go. It's not really a day out. It's kind of like, well, I've got to go and get a jumper or a pair of jeans or something. It's not going to be long until more of that is being done online. Vicinity Centres is right in the gun. It's in the worst spot possible. So I wouldn't want to own second tier, third tier shopping centres. That, in my mind, is what Vicinity is, and I'd sell those shares.
I heard them described as a third place the other day. There's where you live and where you work, and then a third place, and that's where your Westfields and things like that exist. So whereas a Myer is probably not so much. You're not grabbing a group of mates and going and trying on some trousers.
Exactly.
You're probably not even calling them trousers anymore. That's
slacks. I like to call them slacks. No, but I think you're right. I think the challenge with the third place, though, is you don't – it is a third place, but where are you going to hang out? Now, increasingly, people are doing online anyway.
Yeah.
But also, if you're going to go, you might go to a coffee shop, you might go to a Westfield, you might go somewhere else. Even if that is true, it's going to be a less attractive revenue model for Vicinity than literally clipping the ticket for every tenant in there who's selling me something I'm currently walking in to grab. Physical retail is not dying tomorrow. But even if it reduces slightly, they're going to have to drop their rents, the values, the carrying values of the assets are going to be way overstated in my view. So again, no time frame on this. It could be, maybe it's 50 years. My guess is much shorter than that. But at some point, the other thing, retailers really, really, really difficult business with very thin margins. So if the retailers themselves lose 5 or 10% of sales, that's enough to send them broke. And if they go broke and you're the landlord, you've got an empty shop much harder to fill.
All right, so Vicinity Centres is a sell. All right, it's time for the last call here in the No Holds Bar. We're looking at the beta shares, NASDAQ 100 ETF, ASX NDQ, currently trading at $40.84. Scott, we had FANG, then we had FANG, then we had FANG Plus, now we've got the Magnificent Seven. Is the NASDAQ 100 finally the place we're going to land? We're just going to take the top 100, call it the NASDAQ 100, be done with it.
I'm going to short meme stocks, but I'm going to go along the NASDAQ 100. Yeah, you're right. There'll be something after the Magnificent Seven. Someone else will come up with a fancy name. By the way, it's always fund managers trying to get you to invest in their funds that do this sort of stuff. So be careful of that sort of thing. The NASDAQ 100, I own units in it, by the way. So think about the companies that are on the NASDAQ. Think about, I own some of these as well, but Amazon, Google, Netflix, Tesla, NVIDIA, Apple. And by the way, the next generation we don't know yet. NVIDIA wasn't talked about as one of the FANG stocks, and all of a sudden it's one of the most valuable businesses in the world a couple of years later.
Yeah.
Speaking of marketing, what I hate, I describe the NASDAQ 100 or the NASDAQ exchange generally as the companies that are inventing the future. Now, that sounds like a really hackneyed marketing label, and I get it, but it kind of is, right? Think about the next generation of technology, the next generation of devices, of AI, of computing. Where's it going to come from? It's probably going to come out of the US, and it's probably going to come out of companies listed on the NASDAQ. It's probably going to be Facebook with the metaverse. It's going to be Amazon with e-commerce. It's going to be Apple with whatever they come up with next, right? The Vision Pro is their most recent thing. NVIDIA or Intel, one of those companies. So the growth of, if you think about the economy and say, where's the growth going to come in the economy? I would bet it comes from tech. And if it comes from tech, it's probably going to come from US tech. And if it comes from US tech, it's probably going to come from the NASDAQ. So my view is you can buy this on the ASX. The beauty of this ETF, you can invest on the ASX in this ETF and get exposure to, as you say, the top 100 non-financial companies on the NASDAQ. And that's just a really great way of saying, firstly, I get currency diversification, I get geographic diversification, I get industry diversification. There's some tech here, but not much. And I get exposure to those companies that I think in all likelihood are the ones that are going to be the big winners over the next 5, 10, and 15 years. So with one investment, you can get a diversified group of those.
Yeah,
it's one I've owned for ages. I recommend to almost everybody. If you're not going to, I think everyone should invest overseas, but if you're not going to, at very least, get some overseas-based ETFs. I reckon NASDAQ is probably the top of the pops for me.
Yep, excellent. Brilliant. That's a great way to finish. Scott Phillips from The Motley Fool, thank you so much for joining me in the No Holds Bar. Where can people find you, Scott? Obviously, The Motley Fool. How should people find you?
Yeah, they can jump on fool.com.au. I'm on all the socials, by the way. TMF Scott P is my Twitter and Insta handle. I'm pretty prolific on Twitter, which is either good or bad, depending on whether you like what I have to say.
That's a lovely place, Twitter. I really enjoy it.
Exactly.
I really enjoy the constructive discourse that we find among the Twitter community. No, it can be good.
So, yeah, I'm there. I'm on Facebook as well. Yeah, jump anywhere there. I'm all over the joint. But, yeah, it's been lots of fun. I'll just finish this drink.
Brilliant. All right. Thank you, Scott, for joining us. And you can continue the journey on the Equity Mates website. There's plenty of resources there. You'll find the buy or sell tracker along with a find a company page where you can get more information on each of the companies that we've talked about today. And that's it. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube as well now. I hope you'll join me next time as we jump back into the No Holds Bar. But until then, it's bye for now.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well,
HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.